But holy cow, that's a lot of money for a beer.
And that's not even the most expensive one.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. who's buying these?
You know, it's everybody. We've got, I mean, everybody who's a fan of beer, really. Not everybody.
Yeah, except me, because clearly I'm a cheapskate. I don't know.
No, it's, you know, private collectors, people who are doing little private tastings with a group. So sometimes you'll get people pool their money together and buy a special bottle to have as the centerpiece of a tasting. Even restaurants are getting in on it.
What is it that makes a beer auction worthy, if you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at in terms of what we want to offer, it's not necessarily, you know, the most highly regarded beers in the world, although these are extremely highly regarded. They're beers that will age, that, you know, can survive 5, 10, 15, 20, or even more years in the bottle.
If you could go out, though, and just drink a beer, what would your beer be? Would it be one of the ones at auction time?
I mean, those are largely, you know, beers that you want to sit down and ponder. But if, you know, if it's the end of the day, I mean, I'll drink pretty much anything. I'll look to Jack's Abbey as a nice local beer out here. Open up one of those and give it a shot.
Michael Mosier, he is at the Skinner Auction House in Boston, Mass. Michael, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Guy.
Marketplace is supported by MailChimp. More than 5 million people and businesses around the world use MailChimp to design and send email newsletters. More at MailChimp.com. And by Fast Company's annual Innovation Uncensored, April 9th and 10th, now open for registration, with leaders from their world's most innovative companies list, InnovationUncensored.com. Additional support from the University of Southern California's Marshall School of Business.
This final note today, perhaps the very definition of what Joseph Schumpeter called creative destruction. There was a time in this economy when this was the very essence of high tech.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone.
Dialing 777-FILM, F-I-L-M, to get movie times and to buy tickets. Well, I am sorry to have to tell you that the New York Times reports that after 25 glorious years, Movie Phone is shutting down. AOL, which bought MoviePhone for a kind of amazing $388 million 15 years ago, is going to pull the plug pending a rebranding, we are told. I have no idea what that is going to look like. But for now, that's it. We got to go. That is Marketplace from 8 p.m. on this Monday. Our daily production team includes Bridget Bodner and Tommy Andreas. Millie Jefferson directs the program. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM.
It's Mardi Gras time. Join us February 26th at 7 p.m. at the Goldtown Theater for the next KRNN Spotlight Series with the North Country Cajun Club. Sergey Morrison, Meriden Borio, Andrew Heist, Aaron Hansen, Colette Costa, and host Jack Fontanella. Tickets are $12 in advance at krnn.org or $15 at the door. Imagine Cajun and Country met up at a bar and took a trip to Alaska. More info at krnn.org.
Bennu is a young boy who nobody understands, so he goes searching for his place in the world and meets some interesting characters along the way. Join Opera to Go February 22nd to March 1st at the JDHS Auditorium for the world premiere of Rory Stitt's new opera for children and adults, Bennu. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside and Rainy Retreat Books, and online at operatogo.net. As always, student tickets are $5. Check out operatogo.net for more information.
The time is 6:59. You are listening to KTOO News. Tonight, clear, lows 13 to 21, except around 4 above in wind-sheltered areas. Variable winds to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny, highs around 34, north wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Coming up next, the regular meeting of the City and Borough of Juneau.
Hi, I'm Mark Choate, former Juneau School Board Chair and a Rotarian. We all want our children to be successful in school and to graduate. That's why I want to ask you to pledge right now to read to your kids every day. Just 20 minutes a day will make a huge difference. Rotary Clubs of Juneau and our partners encourage you to take the pledge. Read every day for at least 20 minutes.
Rotary, opening doors through literacy, Juneau's capital idea.
The U.S. Forest Service is accepting applications for membership on the Tongass Advisory Committee. This 15-member committee will meet as often as once a month for the next year to develop a strategy for transitioning the Tongass National Forest to a timber program based on young growth management. Participation is voluntary, but the work you will do is critical to the future health of the forest and surrounding communities. For more information or to apply before the February 27th deadline, visit the Tongass National Forest on the web and click on Tongass Advisory Committee.
I was just turning my phone off because I think that's what was causing the feedback.
Okay. You still with us, Randy?
I am.
Okay, good. We're going to move forward here. I will call the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska's February 24th, 2014, regular meeting number 2014-06 to order. And will you all stand and flag salute, please? Mr. Mankirby?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Ms. Troll?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We have one special order of business, and we will be talking with Mr. Zenich towards the end of our meeting. But I just wanted to give him a honorary certificate now. So, Eric, if you'll come up, stand here with me. You have to
front and center.
And thanks to Assembly Member Kate Kroll, we've started a program to try to include the youth of our community. And so we've taken and all three of our different high schools and picked a student, or the young people have picked a student from their high schools. This young man, Derek Zinnick, is from the Juneau Douglas High School, and we had one from Thunder Mountain last time, and then we'll get one from Yakuts here the next go around, and we'll have all three of our honorary mayors have spent a day with us and a evening meeting like with AML or Southeast Conference and things like that. So this goes to Mr. Derek Zenich, and he's a very interesting young man. He's interested in science. He's interested in our landfill and different things like that. So it's been really nice to have him here for a half a day, and show him around and get him to know all of our people. And this is the 2014 Mayoral Award presented to Juneau Douglas High School student Derek Zinnich in recognition of his service as honorary mayor for the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, Capital City. Dated February 24, 2014, Mayor Sanford and Assembly. At the end of the meeting, we'll be able to ask Derek some questions, and he can give us some feedback on what he thinks we should be doing. That should be interesting. All right, let's move on down to approval of minutes. We have a number of special meetings and one regular meeting. Is there any corrections for the January 27th regular assembly meeting 2014-02? Ms. Crane?
I found a number of small corrections that needed to be made, just misspellings or a lack of word, and there was nothing substantive, and I have forwarded those to the clerk.
Okay, thank you. You got all that then?
Thank you.
Are there any objections to the 2014-02 minutes being approved as corrected? Thank you. So approved. We'll move on to the special meeting 2014-03, February 5th, 2014. Is there any corrections to that meeting? Small ones also.
Yes. Great.
Thank you. You got them in. Are there any objections to their approval? Seeing none, so ordered. The February 10th, 2014 special meeting 2014-04.
Not for that one.
No corrections for that one. It's great. All right. Is there any objections to their approval? Seeing none, so ordered. We have next the February 12th, 2014 special assembly meeting 2014-05. Is there corrections? Did you get them in, Ms. Crane?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and they're small on substantial?
Yes, they are.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any objections to the corrected minutes? Spelling stuff? Hearing none, seeing none, they will stand approved. Manager's request for agenda changes?
None, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public participation on non-agenda items? Do we have a list, Madam Clerk? Oh, I'm going to ask one more time. I can't believe with this crowd. Is there anybody who wishes to speak to us about a non-agenda item? Non-agenda.
What?
All right, come on up. I knew we'd get one out of the crowd. Like this. Thank you, sir. Can we have your name and address, please, and give us 3 minutes of your testimony?
Hey, my name is Anthony Zink, and my address is 11027 Mendenhall Loop Road. And I sent this document to the clerk about a month ago. Basically, what I'd like to do is introduce what I perceive as fair and equitable land lease procedures. It's come to my attention that the current land lease procedures can be improved. The current procedures, as I understand it, is the potential lessee brings a proposal to the land manager, who reviews the proposal and works with the potential lessee to ensure that the CBJ interests are met. The land manager then requests an appraisal to ensure that the lease reflects the fair market value. The lease is then brought to the assembly and then the planning commission and then back to the assembly for vote. As a concerned taxpayer, I believe that the above procedure can be improved to ensure that all potential lessees have the opportunity to submit a fair lease proposal. And I have a five-step process that I laid out, and it's all written. I sent it to the clerk approximately a month ago. Very similar to the competitive bid process. I reviewed that recently, and I'm amazed at the similarities. But the moral of the story is the advantage of adopting something that is fair like this, there's a couple of advantages. The land lease procedure, number one, it would inform the public. Number two, it would help protect the land manager from perceptions of impropriety. It would also help to ensure the taxpayers receive the best lease and the best terms, and not necessarily the first lessee that walks through the door. And that was my 3 minutes.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Zink?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so we'll move on, since that was the only person who stood up and wanted to address us on a non-agenda item. We'll move forward to the consent agenda. Does anybody from the public wish to pull a consent agenda or change the consent agenda other than ordinances for introduction? So this is the consent agenda, the front of the agenda packet that you got in the back table. Seeing none, wishes assembly request for consent agenda changes, first of all. How about the assembly? Do you want to pull anything? Seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections to that? Seeing none, we'll move forward to, we're not paged anymore, so we'll move forward past resolutions and move towards the, past the bid awards, past the transfer awards, past the liquor license approvals. We don't have to do anything there, do we, Madam Manager? Okay.
We just did.
Right. Yep, thank you. I thought they hit him in there again. Okay, so we'll move to Section 8, public hearing. And the Madam Clerk, could you please read the first title, please? Ordinance 2013-11AE.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $300,000 as partial funding for the new Mendenhall Valley Public Library capital project, funding provided by the Juneau Public Library Endowment Agency Fund.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, Ms. Kiefer.
At its December 19, 2013 meeting, the Endowment Board of the Juneau Public Libraries passed Resolution 13-03, approving the transfer of $300,000 from the Endowment Fund to the new Mendenhall Valley Public Library Capital Improvement Project. This funding was originally pledged in Resolution 11-03 as local match funding for the State of Alaska Major Library Construction Grant. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on Ordinance 2013-11AE? Seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11AE and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, could you please read Ordinance 2013-11AF?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $200,000 as a grant to the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, funding provided by the Airport Snow Removal Equipment Facility Capital Project.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, admin report.
Both the new Performing Arts Center and the Snow Equipment Removal Facility, known as SHREF, were approved for funding from temporary 1% sales tax that went into effect on October 1st, 2013. The SHREF capital project received $1.55 million in sales tax revenues in FY14. The new Performing Arts Center was not scheduled to receive any sales tax revenue in FY14, but now requires funding to move the project forward. At this time, the SHREF capital project, excluding the $200,000, has sufficient funding to meet their project needs. The Airport Board supports the short-term loan. The Public Works and Facilities Committee and the Assembly Finance Committee reviewed and approved the forward funding to the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council is scheduled to receive the $200,000 in FY15 funding, and that will now be used to reimburse the SHREF project. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, 2013-11AF? We're giving everybody plenty of chance here. Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move on to assembly action. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the assembly adopt Ordinance 2013-11AF, and I would like to just pose one question to the manager, if I might.
Go ahead, Mr. Keel.
You used at one point the word loan, and I just want to make sure that I fully understand. We're not charging one pot of city, one city entity interest on and moving money around. All we're doing is changing the schedule, in effect, right? We're funding one project a year earlier, one project a year later. They're both getting the same amount of money.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, we'll just replace that $200,000 in FY15 when that new money becomes available.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Keel, is there any objections to the adoption of 2013-11AF? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for Ordinance 2014-06B?
An ordinance transferring responsibility for the Juno Douglas City Museum from the Parks and Recreation Department to the Library Department.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, admin report.
Maintenance of the facility would still be provided by building maintenance through coordination with the Library Department. This move allows both entities to more effectively share resources, co-host programs and exhibits, seek grant opportunities, and advocate for future Juno shared collections, resources, and community gathering spaces. Libraries and museums historically have had very similar missions and work. Both department directors are recommending the transfer and believe that the mission of the museum is more closely aligned with that of the library. Version B includes an additional code amendment not appearing in the original introduction at the last meeting, specifically 49-10-410, Historic Resources Advisory Committee, recommended by the Human Resources Committee. So there's the change directs that there will be a recommendation from the library to the Human Resources Committee. Now, before it was under Parks and Rec that was staffing the Human Resources Committee. Excuse me, the Historic Committee. Thank you. There's no financial impact to this move. The Human Resources Committee reviewed this ordinance at its January 6, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, 2014-6B? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Move on to assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance serial number 2014-06B as in Bethel and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for Ordinance 2014-07B?
An ordinance authorizing the sale of city and borough land located at South Lena Point Subdivision and establishing the terms and conditions related to the sale.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, admin report, please.
This ordinance would authorize the Lands and Resources Division to dispose of 12 city-owned lots in the South Lena Subdivision over the next 8 years. The first South Lena Subdivision land sale was conducted in the spring of 2007. The city offered 43 parcels, of which 32 were sold. In 2010, the remaining 11 lots were offered in land sales, but only two of those lots sold. In recent years, three of the original land sales lots have been conveyed back to the city ownership due to various circumstances, bringing the total lots available for sale to 12. Since 2010, the demand for available buildable lots has increased, and the Lands and Resources Division proposed to offer for sale a few lots at a time through occasional Lena land sales over the next few years to avoid saturating the market. Municipal sewer does not reach Lena Point, and there are no current plans to extend municipal sewer to Lena Point in the future. Therefore, purchasers must be responsible for installing their own on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems. At its December 8, 2013 meeting, the Assembly Lands Committee recommended forwarding this land disposal action to the full Assembly for approval. After the ordinance was introduced at the Assembly on January 27, 2014, the ordinance was amended. Version B in your packet tonight includes a requirement that the apparent high bidder give notice of the title company selected for closing, a requirement that purchasers obtain title insurance in order to protect the CBJ from liability when it acts as a lender, and pay all closing costs. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open up public comment. Ordinance serial number 2014-07B. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Move to assembly action. Ms. Stroll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 2014-07B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on to E, which is ordinance 2014-11B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance imposing a limited moratorium on the receipt or processing of applications, permits, or pending approvals pertaining to the installation or siting of any new wireless communication tower.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, admin report.
On January 27, 2014, the Assembly passed a motion to establish a moratorium on new wireless communication towers pending the completion of the cell tower master plan and related ordinance, scheduled to be completed in mid-May. The temporary moratorium, which would apply to new cell towers only, would not apply to towers necessary to protect health, welfare, or safety, or to co-location applications or permits. The purpose of the moratorium is to preserve the status quo by working on the master plan and ordinance, putting in place a more comprehensive and carefully considered regulatory scheme until it is completed. The moratorium would expire on May 19, 2014. This ordinance was introduced at the special assembly meeting held Wednesday, February 12, 2014. Since then, very small changes were made to improve clarity and resulting in version B before you tonight. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I will open up ordinance 2014-11B for public comment. Do we have a list back there? Or how many people wish to comment on this particular? Two people? Okay.
Pictures worth a thousand words. I get more than 3 minutes out of that.
My name's John Lyman. I'm at 808 Fritz Cove Road. And this is what my wife and I live with 24/7 in our front yard. This is a product of failing to have a master plan in place. During the day, it's a white strobe. At night, it fires just like this, almost exactly this pause during the day, less than a second and a half. My concern is, and I brought up the question of a moratorium at the planning meeting. Okay, my concern is that without a moratorium and without it coming in and the planning afterwards coming in place, Verizon may come in, and they've 2 years ago they wanted 53 towers, 27 of them to be co-located. Okay, now they're down to 13 towers. When you take that signal and boost it so you can have fewer towers, those towers have to go up. The viewshed is threatened for many of the people in town. So if you're trading off the numbers, remember how high they must go, like this. So you got a little spaceship coming in constantly in front of your house. The main thing I would be concerned with in imposing this moratorium and putting it in place is the final product. That what we should have is an opportunity, real opportunities, for the public to participate both in the structuring of the final ordinance and during the siting of different towers. One of the things that we asked for before this thing was put in place was a balloon test. They do it all over the country. You have a little dirigible balloon that says Verizon's putting a tower in here, and it's suspended at the height that the tower is going to be so the whole neighborhood can see it. Verizon refused to do that here. We asked for it. They wouldn't. That type of thing is what the public needs to be involved in this, and it's why it's essential that the moratorium and that the final ordinance have real opportunity for public comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Lyman. And I'd like to shut this off, but it goes off 24/7, so I just
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Lyman? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Ma'am?
Very effective.
I am Sue Ann Randall, and I live at 11346 North Douglas Highway. And I am one of the people who has a view of the cell tower, like John showed, and I've posted three videos on YouTube that you can go and you can see from my dining window. So just so you can see what it's like every second of the day. There's daytime, dusk, and nighttime, and you can see the tremendous red glare on the water that goes all the way up to the shoreline, and it doesn't really change. Having this moratorium is really important so that a lot of thought can be put into this plan. I just whipped out this hat just before I came this evening, and it didn't have a lot of thought in it when I put it together. I just kind of slapped it together, and it's not how these should be installed in our community. I think that because we're also dependent on the cellular technology, it's not going to go away. And we have something here in Juneau that people come to see. We have a place where people move away from this. People move away from this to come here. And for instance, where the cove where we live, between the boat launch and Fish Creek, to have such a quiet view, you have to drive, other than going out North Douglas, you have to drive way out the end of the road. And it's just so sad. It's sad for me, definitely, but it's sad for every single person here and every person who's listening on the radio. It's just heartbreaking. And so thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Randall. Are there any questions for Ms. Randall? Thank you very much. So I will close public testimony on Ordinance 2014-11B, and we'll move to assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-11B and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections?
Thank you. I object. Would you like me to speak to my objection?
Yes.
Okay. I object because I believe that, just as our last person that testified spoke to, that the cell phone towers are going up because it's market demand. The people in Juneau, like was stated, want their cell phones to work no matter where they're at. And unfortunately, what comes along with that are towers. And if you want cell phone towers, or if you want a cell phone that's going to work, you're going to want to have towers that make them work. And I believe that these aren't put in arbitrarily. They're market-driven. They're studied where they're going to go in. There's a limited amount of space where they can go in, and it's unfortunate that we see them. And you do see them around the rest of the country. And they have cell phone coverage that works everywhere. That's why they're all over the place. So for that reason, I think that I'm going to maintain the objection I held earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to the moratorium ordinance? Mr. Wanamaker, do you have anything?
I have nothing further to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Smith? Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
5-3. Motion carried.
Thank you. We'll move on to, everybody understand where we're at here? The motion failed, so the ordinance passed.
Motion.
Objection failed.
Motion passed. Unfinished business? Any unfinished business, Madam Manager?
No, thank you.
New business, we have six items in unfinished business and, new business. We will take item A first, Madam Manager.
This is my request to authorize beginning lease negotiations with Landscape Alaska. Per 5309260, which you have copies in front of you. I have received a written proposal and lease application by Landscape Alaska for a property on the Back Loop Road. According to the code, the proposal shall be reviewed by the Assembly for the determination of whether the proposal should be further considered, and if so, whether by direct negotiation with the original proposer or by competition after an invitation for further proposals. Upon direction of the assembly by motion, the manager may commence negotiations for lease, sale, exchange, or the disposal of city and borough land. So that I'm requesting direction from you tonight is how to move forward.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And the last sentence says that this matter must come back to the assembly for final approval by ordinance. So
correct.
That's the point in contact where the public will have a chance to give their input on a ordinance of this lease.
Correct.
Okay. And can they also come to you during the negotiations of the lease and give their input to you?
Who's the they?
The public.
They could provide comment to me during the time. So based on 5309-260, the option is to go out and see if anybody else is interested in this parcel, okay, or just to go ahead and negotiate with the person that has provided the application at this point. Okay. So one other point of clarification that where the public will also have comment opportunity is that then it has to go back to the Planning Commission before it comes to the Assembly as well.
Okay.
So it'll be heard by the Planning Commission, correct, and then back to the Assembly.
Okay. Is there any questions from the Assembly? Ms. Crane?
Has the appeal period for the appeal on the decision from the Planning Commission passed?
No.
No. So the public could still appeal that decision?
Correct.
And if that appeal goes forward, then the negotiations would stop?
Depending upon your direction tonight, if you direct me to negotiate, I wouldn't start negotiation until the appeal period is finished.
Again. Thank you very much.
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Have you had anybody else approach you other than Landscape Alaska about this particular lot to lease it?
No.
This is the first. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Thomas?
I think when I was looking at this earlier today, I think it's 5302 or 5309-020. It says something about, and early on in the lease, that this land is not scheduled for any other use, or this land is designated to be available for lease, and you're not supposed to lease if it's scheduled for anything else. And I assume that this parcel is not scheduled for any kind of land sale, or it's not scheduled for anything else?
No, this, to my knowledge, we purchased this property, I think, in 2007 or 8, looking for Mr. Cheney. Is it 2007, thank you, Dan. And so it hasn't been put into our land management plan. It was purchased with the understanding that it would provide us potential access to other city property behind it. And so we purchased this so we would have a corridor that would potentially go off the back loop into the area above Auk Lake Hill.
And that's a large
And that's a very large city parcel.
Back there. So we're gonna have to have that access someday in the future for sure. Okay. Any other questions for the city manager on this lease? Direction we've given her, she's asked for permission to move forward in accordance with the law. Is there any objections to that?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the assembly should give the city manager direction to continue to negotiate directly with Landscape Alaska for the use of this lease of this property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to that? Hearing none. Mr. Roll?
I'm perhaps a little confused. Was there going to be an opportunity for public comment on
not
this
tonight,
agenda?
No.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. Okay. Is there anything else? Does anybody object to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. Move on to B, item B, new business. Again, city manager.
We're requesting authorization to negotiate with Juno Montessori School. Ordinance 2008-37 authorized negotiations for a lease with Montessori. Their current lease expires in April 2014, and I'm requesting authorization to negotiate with them under Section 532100, which was a preference privilege, because we already have an existing lease with them, and so because we have that existing lease and really nothing is changing in the lease besides the rate, we believe we can go forward. We just want to make sure that you're approving of us moving forward to negotiate that lease with Juno Montessori School.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the city manager on this? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for staff. Is this the facility at Savico?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, wishes of the assembly? Madam Becker?
I move that we give permission to the city manager to negotiate to renew building lease with Montessori School.
Is there any objections? So ordered.
Thank you.
Move forward with item C, Twinkler versus Planning Commission. Madam Manager, do you want to begin this? Or
I will turn it over to our city attorney. Thank you.
Madam Law Firm.
On January 13, 2014, the Planning Commission issued a final decision denying the appeal of a director's decision regarding the issuance of a building permit for the construction of a garage. The petitioners, the Twelfers, filed a timely notice of appeal. The appellate code requires that upon receiving an appeal, the assembly must first decide whether to accept or reject it. As provided by 0150-030E, the appeal agency may reject the appeal for failure to comply with the appellate rules, or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, but notice of the appeal should be liberally construed in order to preserve the rights of the appellant. So therefore, you have three questions to answer tonight. One, will the assembly accept the appeal? Two, if so, will the assembly hear the appeal itself or assign it to a hearing officer? Three, if the assembly decides to hear the appeal itself, would the mayor preside or will he designate another member as presiding officer? This matters before the assembly, sitting in its quasi-judicial capacity. Accordingly, members should avoid discussing the case outside of this hearing process. With respect to this issue, the appellate code provides in section 0150-230 that both the process, the appeal officers must remain impartiality, and that it prohibits ex parte contact.
Thank you, Madam Lawyer. Any questions for staff at this time? Wishes of the assembly? First question to answer is, will the assembly accept the appeal?
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept the appeal.
Is there any objections to that?
Mr. Mayor, I object.
Thank you. You want to make any statement on it or anything?
Only very briefly. Having read the decision of the Planning Commission, the letter, and more importantly, the statement of issues on appeal, and having construed them as liberally as I can in favor of the appellant, I do not find justification there to accept the appeal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keel. And maybe a statement on that. That's our privilege to not accept the appeal. Do you want to say anything about that, Ms. Mead?
Yes. If the relief being requested is not something that could flow from the appeal process, then it is proper to reject the appeal.
Thank you. Ms. Crane.
Then can I ask the attorney for her recommendation?
This is in the assembly's discretion.
It's up to us.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion that we do not accept the appeal?
The motion was
to accept.
I'm sorry, yes.
I've objected.
Yeah.
The motion was to what?
To accept.
To accept the appeal.
To accept the appeal.
I maintain my objection.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. All those in favor of, or do you need to read the roll? Read the roll, please.
Okay. For the motion to accept the appeal, Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Mr. Smith is not present. Mayor Sanford?
No.
We have 4-4. Motion fails.
All right. Everybody got that? We will move forward to D, Vic versus Animal Hearing Board. Madam Manager, you want to start or give it to the Law Department?
I'll give it to the Law Department. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mead.
On January 17, 2014, the Animal Hearing Board issued a final decision denying the appeal of Animal Control's decision regarding the dangerous animal designation of the Vic's dog, Sushi. The petitioners, the Vic's, filed a timely notice of appeal. Again, the code requires you to first make a decision as to whether you will accept this appeal as provided by 0150. Again, you may reject the appeal for failure to comply with the appellate rules or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, construing the notice of appeal liberally in favor of the appellant. The following procedural issues, therefore, should be decided. One, will you accept or reject the appeal? Two, if you accept it, will you hear it yourself or appoint a hearing officer? Three, if you hear it yourself, will the mayor preside or will a presiding officer be appointed? Again, this matter is before you sitting in your quasi-judicial capacity, and accordingly, members should avoid discussing the case outside of the hearing process, keeping in mind the provisions and the requirements of 0150230 on impartiality.
Thank you, Madam Mead. So, questions from the Assembly to staff? Wishes of the Assembly? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we accept the appeal.
Are there any objections to that? So ordered. Will the Assembly hear the appeal itself or assign to a hearing officer? What's the wishes on that question? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd make a motion that we appoint this to a hearing officer.
Are there any questions to that?
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering if we can get an opinion from the city attorney as to what the cost of that appointment to a hearing officer would be and if there are sufficient funds to enable us to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Mead?
As to costs, I don't have a basis for even guessing what that might be. I don't know when the last time you sent a matter to a hearing officer was, but depending on who is appointed, I know in the past, in the way past, you have used attorneys, in which case hourly fees would apply. I don't know who else has been used, but I've been advised by the city manager that there are funds set aside for this specific purpose.
Thank you, Ms. Mead. Any other questions, Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I neglected to ask. Ms. Mead, could you tell us, do you think that this is sufficiently complex it needs to go to a hearing officer, or do you think that it's something the Assembly could handle?
I think that there could be many reasons why you send a matter to a hearing officer. One may be the complexity of an issue. The other could just be a resource issue. There's nothing in the code that specifies when an issue needed to go to a hearing officer versus when you keep it before you. I think it's, again, a question that's in your discretion to answer.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead, Mr. Wanamaker.
My question may not have been worded properly. My question to the city attorney is this. Do there appear to be issues in this appeal that are complex enough that a hearing officer is justified, or do you think that the Assembly is capable of hearing it itself? Thank you.
I think the Assembly is capable of hearing this. You have heard a similar case in the past.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Mr. Wanamaker.
Then I'll object to sending it to a hearing officer. I believe that the Assembly has a responsibility to hear appeals whenever it can from the public and to hear the appeal itself whenever possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. And we, Mr. Keel?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. If memory serves, the last time we used a hearing officer was either very late in 2011 or early in 2012 with a rock crusher and a D3 appeal. I did not follow up for the final bill, but the estimate that was given us was $10,000 to $20,000 for an attorney to serve as hearing officer. As little as I like the idea, it doesn't sound like a lot of fun. I will join Mr. Wanamaker in his objection.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Did you make a motion or not, Mr. Nanker?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so he moved to have a hearing officer hear this. That's what the motion is before us at this time, right, Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Thank you. And we have objections, so take the vote, please.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
The motion fails.
Thank you. So, that puts it back in our court to hear the appeal. Is there any objections to that? Pardon?
But I think we've done that.
Okay.
We need a presiding officer.
Okay. And does anyone on the assembly wish to take this on as presiding officer? We have one before us right now, Mr. Nankervis.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just say, I was the only one that voted for the hearing officer.
I think it's out of it.
You are the odd man out, Mr. Nankervis. Mr. Keel?
Mr. Mayor, I haven't taken one of these yet. I will volunteer if the rest of the body is willing.
I'm sure that we are willing to give it to you, Mr. Nankervis. And thank you very much. So we will hear the appeal. We accepted the appeal. And Mr. Keel will be the hearing officer. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item E on the agenda, Bicknell versus Planning Commission. Madam Manager. Madam Lawyer.
On January 17, 2014, the Planning Commission issued a final decision denying the request to rezone 82 acres of rural reserve land at USS 1568 Track B to a mixture of industrial, light commercial, and rural reserve. The petitioner, Bicknell Incorporated, filed a timely notice of appeal. The code requires that upon receiving an appeal, the Assembly must first decide whether to accept or reject it. I'm going to repeat myself again. As provided by 0150-030, you may reject an appeal for failure to comply with the appellate rules, or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, where you have construed the notice of appeal liberally in order to preserve the rights of the appellant. After you decide whether you will accept or reject the appeal, you must decide whether you will hear the appeal itself or assign a hearing officer. If you hear it yourself, whether the mayor will preside or whether there will be another member designated as a presiding officer. Again, this matter is before you in your quasi-judicial capacity. Accordingly, you must avoid discussing the case outside of the hearing process. With respect to this issue, you must follow 0150-230, which provides that the functions of hearing officers and those appeal agency members participating in decisions shall be conducted in an impartial manner with due regard for the rights of all parties and the facts and the law, and consistent with the orderly and prompt dispatch of proceedings, and that hearing officers and appeal agency members, except to the extent required for the disposition of ex parte matters, shall not engage in interviews concerning the appeal with or receive evidence or argument on the appeal from a party directly or indirectly, except upon opportunity for all of the other parties to be present. All communications with a hearing officer or presiding officer concerning the appeal must be served on all parties.
Thank you, Ms. Mead. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that we accept the appeal and would ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would also move that we assign this to a hearing officer and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objections to that? Mr. Nankervis.
I object.
Any comments?
Yes, unlike the dog issue, which I think is a very personal private issue. This is a very public issue. You can tell by the number of people that are in the room, and I think that since it is this much of a public issue, that the Assembly should sit and hear this. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess I would just say that in the end, we hear it from the hearing officer, so we're not delaying our responsibilities at all. It's just that a hearing officer would collect all the information and bring it forward to us, right, Ms. Mead?
Correct.
Thank you very much. Okay, there's an objection to it. Any other comments, questions? Please take the roll.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
7-2.
Thank you. And the next step is to, do we wait to have you give us recommendations on who we want to preside over as presiding officer? Or are you going to, staff will?
Appoint, yes. I don't know how it's been done in the past. I don't know how it's been done in the past, but I, at a minimum, I would need time to put together a list of potential hearing officers.
Okay. I don't know whether it's come back to us in the past to make a decision or whether we've just let staff the one or two times that we've done this. Do you remember, Mr. Jones, at all?
I do not.
Neither do I.
And it's not happened since I've been on the Assembly, right. But sitting in the audience, I remember there's generally some discussion about it.
Right. Ms. Crane?
I remember that the attorney made the decision, but...
Yeah.
Actually, the code provides that the Assembly may assign a qualified, unbiased, impartial hearing officer. So I would prefer to bring you a list of names and have you appoint a hearing officer.
Okay, we'll do that at our next meeting. Thank you very much. Any other comments, questions?
One last comment.
Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I thought I heard the city clerk say the recent vote was 7-2. I believe it was 6-2.
That's correct. I did misspeak, Mr. Wanamaker. You're correct. It is 6-2.
Thank you. Are there any other comments on this issue? Hearing none, we'll move forward to staff reports.
Yes, thank you. At the last meeting, you asked for... do you want me to wait a minute?
Yeah. If you want to get up and leave while we continue our meeting, go ahead. But please step outside right away. Thank you.
Cool boots.
Well, you're special.
Thank you, Sophie.
Very nice.
We needed that at the U.S.-Canada hockey game.
Yeah, right.
Both of them.
The game is a show of support because these people have been following the issue. So we can't get into the merry.
Okay, keep coming out, please, so we can finish our meeting. Thank you very much. We'll move. Somebody's going to have to shut that door back there because they're going to be talking out in the hallway for a little while. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, staff reports?
Yes, at the last meeting, we were asked about providing written information in the packet. We do everything we can to try and get you the written information ahead of time and get the public the written information ahead of time. There are times when we are still working on the information before at the packet deadline, and we want to bring the most up-to-date information possible to you. But we try to make that the exception rather than the rule. There are times when information is going back and forth a number of different times, and we think it's better to bring it to you and where we can go over it with you step by step so that everybody clearly understands the information when it's presented. But our goal is to try and get you and the public everything to review what's in front of you to be able to make those decisions. So if you've got questions or comments or recommendations, please let me know. Or if you're not comfortable with that process, please also let me know.
Thank you. That was one of the questions that we had, of not having staff reports on all topics that we're discussing in a certain night, because sometimes these things come up at the last minute, and that, mm-hmm. that if at all possible, they are going to try to do that. They will not be able to do it all the time by any means. So, okay. Any questions, comments? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kiefer.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to assembly reports, and first of all, on the mayor's report, on the mayor's report, I would like to, and I think you all have in your packets, the creation of a new little workforce task force basing federal NOAA fisheries and oceanographic functions in Alaska. So we want to look at what NOAA does down on the northwest coast and their functions that are down there and those jobs for scientific research that affect our Alaskan fisheries. We want to look at that one more time and see if there's any possibilities of taking some action to encourage some of those, not only ships and boats that are stationed down there, but also scientists who are working out of the northwest, being able to shuffle those back into our own region, not only here in Juneau, that's the primary thing that this task force is assigned to do, but also throughout the state and the coast. There's other places within Southeast where some of these jobs could go. There's Kodiak, has a big fishing industry where some of these jobs might possibly go, and we want to look at all of that. And this is one of our goals that Ms. Troll brought up during our goal setting for the assembly. So I wanted to get this off the ground. I've appointed a 5-member team to look at this. Mr. Wanamaker and Mr. Greg Fisk is here. They're going to co-chair this committee. Ms. Troll's going to be on the committee. Mr. Becker from our Fisheries Development is going to be on the committee. And then I would expect that we're looking right now for a retired NOAA scientist or person to fill the fifth slot. So I would expect the committee, as one of their first assignments, to look at that and fill that slot with that type of a person so that they're fully up to speed. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I just would like to thank you personally for moving on this. I think it's very timely, and I have had conversations with the mayor of Kodiak, and they are very keen, happy that we're doing this, and would like to also do something similar in their area. So it's very timely, and I appreciate moving forward on it at this meeting.
And so for the committee members, I too had conversations with the current mayor, and she said that her past mayor had done a couple of studies or white papers on some of this in the past. So if we could get a hold of him and get his input, I don't want it just to be our own little input here. I think it's very important that we look at that whole problem, and it's a fairly big one, I think. If we could even move a few or some to our own research centers in our own fisheries areas, I think that would be a big advantage to us. So anywhere you can get information, I think would be a very good idea. And again, I've appointed the city manager. If you need some staff or anything like that, go through the city manager, and she can get you somebody to work with you. All your meetings need to follow the outline that's here and has to be in accordance to the public rules. So that would go through Beth and the Open Meetings Act. It's not a committee that's going to be out there by itself. It's formed by the mayor and has to meet all the rules and regulations that we do for open meetings. Any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you, and good luck on your journey. You have, I think, 6 months.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker.
6 months.
Come out of the dark. I think I appointed or re-upped Ms. Becker for the Activities Board last time around, but just to make sure that the clerk has that, Ms. Becker is back as liaison to the school Activities Board. We just appointed the four or five people that we had for the task force on fisheries. The Downtown Business Association would like to have a liaison from the assembly to them. So I'm looking for a volunteer who may wish to be on that. Mr. Jones, you've got enough time. I know you're getting.
No, I would appreciate that. When I was liaison to JADC, I got pretty involved in that, and I would like to continue that.
Okay. And Mr. Jones will be the liaison to the DBA. And they have a set of goals and objectives and everything, too. And you can either get them through my office or through Jill Rammel and the group themselves.
Okay. Thank you.
The Juneau Economic Development Plan is out and about. And I think all of you have seen the notice that's been put out. It's a nice colored brochure that tells you some of the schedule of the Economic Development Plan things that are going on. If you haven't got one of these, make sure. In fact, I would recommend you get a stack of them and pass them out to the citizens, because there's different meetings and time frames on the different meetings for the public to participate in the Juneau Economic Development Plan formation and the study for the next year.
Is this the updated copy?
No.
It's got the website net on it, so I think it is. What was different? The website?
I believe it is the updated copy. There also is a link off juno.org that links to the website that they have now put together that will keep you updated on everything that's going on with it.
That
was the last version I received, so I assume it's the updated.
Well, when I spoke with Kirsten Shelton, she said that the one she gave me was not the updated, and there was another one, so just hoping that is the other one.
It's the blue one that's out there right now in its current, and that's, I think, what this is. But. Okay, and then we had a thank you letter that I wanted you all to know about from a Alaska Airlines pilot.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
So, in fact, it was passed out to everybody and forwarded to everybody, and I just wanted to say that set of lights, approach lights, to this end of the runway, the Juneau end of the runway, is the first time that we've had those in forever. We've had the Malzahr off the west end coming in on the approach from Fritz Cove Road, but not from downtown. And so there's only two rows of lights right now. There will be three more or four more rows of lights on out into the flats the next time that they upgrade that system, which they're after the money for, the FAA is after the money for right now. So there's going to be more bright lights on the flats for runway safety than what we have right now currently. And I'm just telling you that so that you're up front and know about it, and that there's going to be, it is a safety issue for those aircraft coming in and landing on the approach from the town side of the airport, and makes it safer for them, and they can get in at lower minimums than what they have in the past. So that's a good thing. Any questions on that? If anybody wishes to, Derek, if you have any comments or questions that you want to ask us, or
I don't.
Okay. How about any of you? Do you have any questions or comments of Derek? We can put him on the spot right here. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Same thing I asked the person that sat in that chair before you, the younger person that sat in that chair. Tell me one thing you're taking away from your day as a mayor.
Well, I would have to say greater knowledge of governmental proceedings in this town. And also a greater understanding of the current proceedings.
That's good. Like a politician, he gave two answers for just one. That's good.
He was only with me for 4 hours, too. Good job.
You worked fast.
Ms. Troll?
I'm curious, after you did your tour of sort of the city operations and things, what did you find most interesting or most appealing to you?
Most appealing? Well, I saw some plans for the improvements of the docks. I thought that was very interesting. And I also talked with Mayor Sanford at length about the situation of the dump, and that was also interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a solution for the dump?
No. There's a few options, but I don't know.
You could be elected next fall if you.
It's funny. Derek is working on a science project at school, at high school. His science project is on Four Horn Sculpin up north in the Arctic, and he's been working with a couple of other people and students on that and is moving that forward, and it seems like a real interesting topic. I think those are bullheads down here, aren't they, Gary?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think we have Four Horn in this region.
All right. Any other comments? Mr. Jones?
Just one. I know Derek attended the legislative reception of Alaska Municipal League, and Ms. Troll had asked us to make sure he got introduced. And so I know he got introduced to a lot of people, and I was very impressed with the poise with which he met other politicians from around the state and engaged them in conversation and answered their questions. And I was just very impressed with how you comported yourself and dealt with that for being a sophomore in high school. And I mean, I find those kind of receptions hard to deal with now. And I was just very impressed and wanted to tell you that I think you did a great job. I'm a good ambassador for Juneau youth, I can tell you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Anything else? Thank you, Derek, for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Your company. Okay, we'll move on to committee reports. Madam Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on February 10th. John Binkley gave us a talk about the cruise industry and what we can expect this summer. He said that last year's count of passengers was 999,600. So we're not at our million yet, but maybe we'll get there sometime. And he credited this increase in passengers to the governor's lowering the taxes and increasing marketing by the governor and the legislature. He said that the outlook for Alaska is cautiously optimistic, his words. The business climate is improving and the industry continues to make significant investments. The next meeting is March 10. Our topics will include FEMA, cell tower ordinance, transit plan, and perhaps we need to put the Lemon Creek second access on it because we didn't hear from Rory last time, or another meeting. It's still out there, though.
It is.
That's all. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. No, I'm sorry. That's not all.
You're not done?
I have an entire list. We also had Al.
Retirement.
No. It's retirement. That's true. Al Clow came from DOT and talked about the plans for 10th to Main. And the plan is to go from two lanes to one lane at Willoughby and decrease the lanes to 11 feet, put in a 8-foot sidewalk and a bike lane, and to start construction in 2015. We had another discussion about the utility study by Bill Wilkes, and he shared lots of scenarios of rate structures and told us that the goal is to raise money to provide infrastructure improvements. Committee of the Whole asked for more information, specifically what infrastructure they want to build, what the costs are, how much money they need. We felt that the report was not quite complete enough for us. Rory Watt asked to go ahead to apply for permits for the Whale Bridge Park. The Committee of the Whole agreed it was a good idea to start permitting and asked him to do it. And that is all now.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Wanamaker, Public Works and Facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No report tonight. There hasn't been a meeting since the last one on February 6th.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel, Human Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me begin with a mea culpa. From our February 3rd meeting, I neglected to bring to the Assembly our recommendations for appointments to the Affordable Housing Commission. At its February 3rd meeting, the HRC recommended reappointment of Norton Gregory and Honeybee Anderson and appointment of Jeremy Kerr to terms beginning immediately and expiring January 31st of 2017.
Are there any objections to that, to those names forward? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this evening's meeting, immediately preceding the Assembly meeting, we heard a report from the Fisheries Development Committee, which talked with us about their ongoing work on roadside fishery opportunities and a couple of locations. They're pursuing the possibilities of improving our roadside fishing opportunities, as well as the committee's desire to see a boat lift, a haul out capable of hauling out larger vessels than we currently have the capacity for today. The Human Resources Committee also considered appointments and recommends reappointing Jim Becker and appointing Lindsay Bloom to terms expiring January 31st of 2017.
Are there any objections to those recommendations? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We heard the annual report from the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, which has been busy. We've heard, actually, as a full assembly and a committee of the whole on a number of their issues. I won't repeat them now, but they did give us a couple of interesting statistics, one of which was that CBJ Parks and Recreation Facilities had greater than 400,000 visits last year, and that does not include non-commercial trail users, who probably came pretty close to 400,000 uses all by themselves. The Human Resources Committee recommended reappointment of Chris Myrtle and Odin Broody, an appointment of Josh Anderson to terms beginning March 1st and expiring February 28th of 2017.
Are there any objections to those appointments? Seeing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We also heard an annual report from the Sister Cities Committee, which has been remarkably busy and has an incredibly full agenda revitalizing and working actively to revitalize many of our sister cities' relationships. They intend to bring before the Assembly in the future a proposal to expand that committee from its current 5 members to 7. The amount of work they have in front of them, I'm surprised they're doing it with 5 right now. We had one appointment before us and recommended reappointment of Sue Baxter to a term expiring January 1st of 2017.
Are there any objections to that recommendation? Seeing, hearing none, so ordered.
And finally, Mr. Mayor, from tonight's Human Resources Committee meeting, you all will have seen in the HRC packet a letter addressed to the full assembly recommending that we proceed with a housing plan for the city and borough of Juneau. Attached to that was a proposed scope of work and the committee's internal estimate. And the HRC committee has heard from the Affordable Housing Commission on a couple of occasions and discussed that notion with them. That request now moves to the full assembly for consideration as part of our budget process. That concludes my report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Keel, is that going to come back through the committee of the whole or what?
My thought it would go on to finance to start the pending list for discussions for the FY15-16 budget process, unless you would like to have it prior to that in another committee.
It just seems like we're doing two things here at once instead of, have we looked at the internal workings of that request for proposals or anything yet? To see what's in it? I mean, how are we going to do a full plan, or are we going to do an update on the numbers of the number of housing units that we need? Does anybody know that?
Mr. Mayor, the recommendation of the Affordable Housing Commission, and that letter was only, I think, sent to the full assembly on Thursday or Friday, so we haven't had it long. But the recommendation was that a full plan include both a significantly fleshed out needs assessment of the housing needs within the community and a plan for to direct that we can use to direct our efforts and the efforts of staff going forward. It's sort of been our approach so far as we get recommendations to work on the low-hanging fruit. The Affordable Housing Commission's recommendation is that a full plan will let the Assembly and the City act strategically with a vision toward where we're going, as well as recommend to us a fuller menu of options than we've been able to put together on an ad hoc basis.
Madam Manager, if we could look at an example of a plan, housing plan, from, I think SICA did one a year or two ago that was supposed to be pretty good.
Okay, I will follow up. I know they had a number of examples that they had used when they looked at putting together the scope, so I'll ask them for what they base their scope off of and get that back to you.
So if they could get that to us as the Assembly as a whole, then we can look at those things and see what we want to make sure gets into our plan. Ms. Becker?
A question for Mr. Keel. Wasn't part of that proposal from them to that we hire a housing coordinator?
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Becker, the Affordable Housing Commission has recommended that to us in the past. That remains one of their recommendations through their annual report. I would say that the Commission is cognizant that money is not unlimited. And so they forwarded to us that scope of work that they put together after looking at housing plans from Medford, Oregon, and someplace in Idaho. I can't remember. May have been Kalispell, Montana. Anyway, quite a few. And so they certainly would recommend to us both to have an internal staff person at the CBJ working nonstop on housing issues. They also recommend that we have a housing plan to direct that person's work. And so in prioritizing their requests, that was sort of my suggestion to them as liaison, was that they pick the first one first. It was their opinion that a plan adopted by the Assembly after a consultation with the community would give us a direction should we take their second recommendation later on.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. And so I guess just as we go through it in finance, if there's other questions and we need to switch it back and forth or something, I'm sure we can answer all the questions even at finance. So, but we can also go to the committee of the whole if that's needed for some of the other answers in that. Ms. Crane?
Finance meeting this month, we continued our review of various CBJ departments, and we heard from the library and from Capital City Fire and Rescue. Our next finance committee meeting will be March the 19th.
Thank you. Let's see. We already did Mr. Wanamaker, Ms. Troll, Mr. Nankervis, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, why don't we start with you with liaison reports?
Thank you. I attended the Municipal League meetings last week. I guess I enjoyed parts of it. There's parts of the messages I didn't particularly care for. One of the more interesting was the president of the Anchorage Chamber came down and gave a report on a study they had done on education, where they had surveyed both teachers and households. And it was extremely interesting, the different views of schools and the issues facing teachers and students and parents and everybody else when you're looking at it from a teacher standpoint or a household standpoint. There was a lot of discussion among the AML members about that and a lot of interest in that given all the issues before the legislature regarding that. So out of all the meetings, the takeaway I took from that was, you know, this is going to be the education year, whether we necessarily like how it comes out or not, but it's going to be the year. Docks and harbors, in the last week I attended, the next board meeting is this Thursday. They did an interview on the 20th of five applicants for the harbor master position. They had over 20 applicants. They got it down to 10. Then they brought five to actually make about a 10-15 minute presentation before the Docks and Harbor Board, and then went into executive session, had lots of discussion, and then went back to the actual hiring committee with some recommendations. My understanding is that they've made a decision. They're doing the final background checks. There were three people from Juneau interviewed. There was one person who was from Juneau but currently working outside, and one person from outside was interviewed. The other issue that they talked about at one of the committee meetings was they think that they're at the getting close to the final Corps of Engineers report and EPA's report on being able to dredge Douglas Harbor and exactly how they'll deal with the dredge material and that. They think they finally are at a point where the Corps and EPA are finally in some kind of an agreement. It's going to have a financial impact, so there was some discussion about where they are in terms of the funding of the harbor, what more is needed, those kinds of things. I think more will be discussed later on. And then the only other thing was that they're still waiting. I think it's still the 45 days from the opening of the bids for 16B. And I believe there was a court hearing today on the appeal that the Fisherman's Memorial had filed in court, and maybe the attorney can give us a report on that.
There was the hearing on the motion for preliminary injunction. The court denied the request for a temporary restraining order, which is usually granted ex parte, set it on for a hearing today on the preliminary injunction motion, heard argument on that, and we expect it won't be too long for a decision.
And then one last thing is they're at about the 35% drawings for the launch ramp facility out at Ock Bay, and they're hoping to have a date set when they'll be doing a public hearing, and I think they want to announce that when they make a presentation to the Ock Bay Master Planning meeting, which I think is later this week maybe, or next week. So lots of activity going around with the Docks and Harbors. And those are my two liaison reports.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The airport board last met when we had our finance committee meeting, so I wasn't able to attend. I have the minutes, but I will spare you that and let you ask them firsthand, since I believe this Wednesday night they will be in front of us. And the Planning Commission met 2 weeks ago, and part of what they are, the biggest topic they had, I think, came before us tonight for the lease negotiation regarding Landscape Alaska. They approved what I believe was a conditional use permit. Did I get that right, Mr. Watson? They did. Yep. That was before them, and that was the biggie on the agenda. And again, I had to leave that meeting early and go referee, so I missed the rest of that, but that was the biggie on the meeting. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Troll?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Ms. Crane?
The Bartlett Board meets tomorrow night, like Lauren, AML met in Juneau last week, both AML and the Conference of Mayors. AML had a board meeting and then an all-day meeting on Wednesday. Revenue sharing is always the Alaska Municipal League's number one priority, but this year also a high priority is support of the governor's proposal to put $3 billion into the PERS and TERS system. We developed a white paper and also talking points, which I passed out to the assembly at the last meeting. We spent a lot of time talking to the members on Wednesday about those two issues and hoping that they were also going up and talking to their legislators. And next week, as part of AML, I will be attending the National Association of Counties meeting in Washington, D.C.
And I just want to give an attaboy here while we're here. Ms. Crane, you did a good job and represented the city and borough of Juneau very well with AML and your presidency, and I just want to say thank you. As with Mr. Jones, you sometimes have to pick which one of those longer meeting days you want to sit through, and I did the same thing. I sat through PERS and TERS and one or two of the other things, but I did pick. And thank you very much for a good set of meetings and information. Anything else?
That's it.
Thank you very much. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You heard from me at length about the Affordable Housing Commission. At its February 11th meeting, the school board met and had there were two items of I think great note. The first was there was a proclamation by the school board in honor of Elizabeth Paratovich Day. Their focus on success or celebrating success portion of their meeting also focused on the Indian Studies and Tlingit language learning programs. And both the participation and the recognition was, I mean, I don't want to sound hyperbolic, but it was awe-inspiring. It was a room absolutely filled with Alaska Native elders and Alaska Native educators, and an atmosphere of great cooperation and mutual, not just respect, but celebration of education and of place-based learning and of Native values and language. It was inspiring. The other issue that may be of interest is that the administration at the school district recommended award of a new food service provider, a company called Chartwells, which serves 550 districts around the country. Juneau would be Chartwells' first school district contract in Alaska. They recommended that award despite a slightly higher annual price based on a number of quality considerations in their RFP, and there was significant board discussion of that. I expect that community members will be talking about it. They are certainly hopeful at the school board that it will improve quality and overall participation in the school meal programs, but it was not without some controversy.
Hopefully they're not shipping their meals here from down south somewhere, Mr. No. Keel. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Campus Council, the Chancellor, John Pugh, told us that the new freshman dorm is due to be open in August. The Alumni Association served ice cream to the legislators and the staff at the Capitol Building, and Mr. Keel had more than his share.
One bowl of it. Oh.
It was fun.
Ms. Becker serves a very large bowl of ice cream. That's why.
That's right. The main topic of the meeting was on counseling and wellness programs for students. They do screening and group and individual counseling for many, many issues like ADHD and depression and suicide prevention, bipolar, anxiety. It looks like a very well-run program. The Alaska Committee, some of the highlights of the meeting was that our manager came and updated the Alaska Committee on the new parking system, our favorite topic. We discussed the travel delays at the airport due to the TSA cutbacks. They went from 52 officers to 41. And when Delta comes in and, you know, hits our town for bringing in more people, we're probably going to need more TSA officers. And summer will also put a big strain on that, too. We talked about an alternative airport at Gus Davis or Sitka for the days the planes can't get into Juneau. We talked about the food and the beverage service at the airport. Alaska Promotion, Ethan Billings, has the contract now through April of 2014, and they probably will extend if things go well. A committee is working on our online presence. We have three different ways to get information about Alaska Committee: Facebook, alaskascapital.com, and alaskacommittee.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Wanamaker, liaison reports?
Not tonight, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Presiding officer reports. We only had one, so where are we at on our presiding officer reports? Mr. Nan Kirbis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The draft decision from the Assembly went out to the parties last Friday. They have 5 days to rebut that, so we have until this Friday to receive those rebuttals, and I don't know if we've gotten any yet, seeing how it's only Monday, but hopefully we'll have more information by next week. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Nan Kirbis. And we've added to those tonight. Assembly comments and questions. Mr. Wanamaker, you first.
None tonight, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Oh, none tonight.
All right. Mr. Keel. So.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am looking forward and encourage everyone who's able to attend AWARE's annual Women of Distinction Dinner. That's March the 1st, that Saturday evening. Also, we all received email, unlike our usual First Friday events, the Alaska State Museum is having on February the 28th at 5 p.m. its last Friday before the historic building, the old building, is closed and replaced by a new structure under construction. So that's open to the public, and I encourage everyone who's able to attend. And then I just thought I'd share with you all that the Montessori program housed in Marie Drake has some of their middle school-aged students studying journalism. I had the opportunity this past week to be interviewed by two young journalists who chose as their topic the downtown parking situation. I tried not to say anything that might get us in trouble with the litigation.
Did you solve that problem?
I'm looking to our young journalists, Mr. Mayor, to solve that, and then I'll take credit.
Okay. Mr. Keel, thank you very much. Ms. Crane?
I didn't have anything except there was a comment made earlier, and I was wondering if the city manager at a later meeting at some point could update us on where we are with our social media policy.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of quick things. I, too, attended the Alaska Municipal League legislative session and very much appreciated the governor's remarks very candidly about the fiscal prudence of addressing the PERS situation. There was a lot of solidarity behind that, and it was really good to see. I recently had the opportunity to participate as part of the Black Awareness Month in the Gospel Choir Workshop, and it was a wonderful celebration of the Black heritage as well as the inclusiveness of our community. I liked that very much. Somewhere, either the committee of the whole or back before the assembly, I would appreciate an update on where we are with this Spoon Island cell tower. We've directed you to look at potential solutions to that particular tower, including some community mediation. On the committee of the whole, we never did finish the hearing on the Lemon Creek Access Road.
I've asked the manager to put it on the next agenda.
Great. I just want to make sure of that. And I think all of us received a lot of correspondence, emails, and letters regarding the lease option in the Bonnie subdivision. And to those listening, I think they need to be aware that the appeal period is still open, and that is the proper place to, you know, bring those concerns forward. And that's it. Thank you.
And also, if no appeal is filed,
right, then
there'll be an ordinance, and
right,
it'll have to come before the Planning Commission,
right,
and go through all the steps, so there's lots of opportunity for the public to speak.
And in part, the reason I'm explaining this is because our honorary mayor wondered why there were so many people here, and then they didn't testify and things. And I was explaining to him about the whole process and how we're very fortunate to have people that make sure we stay on track.
Mr. Nan Kerbers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Several things. First off, we have a bunch of future adults here tonight, and as always, it's a pleasure to see them out there. One is especially looking dapper. I brought the tie tonight, and he beat me with a jacket, so I got to ante up a little bit here. Two questions for staff, and then a comment following that. You've heard a few things tonight about the parking. I just want to make sure that we're keeping notes on how it's working, the new parking stuff, what is and what isn't working, and that we'll tweak it where we need to make it work. Because I'm sure if I'm getting the emails, I'm sure you're getting them as well. So I'm getting comments and emails about the parking. You're not getting those?
I'm getting a few.
Okay.
So please forward comments that you're getting, especially if they're going just to you, so
okay.
I can make sure I get all those tracked.
Okay. I just want to know that we're
open
to amending things if we find that they're not working.
Yes.
And I would imagine that's the case,
yes,
but I just want to make sure that. Okay. And lastly, this is a question. It's a pass-through question. It was asked of me, and I did not know the answer. And I will use the downtown transit center as an example. Mm-hmm. When the city leases rent space inside a city facility, are there requirements that that lease space has to be open when the facility is open? Or can they have different hours?
They can have different hours. It's specifically for the DTC and the bus staging area. We tried before to get a vendor in to cover the whole hours that facility was open, and we were not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought for that facility, it's better to have people there for some period of time rather than not at all.
Okay, that's
so
just that facility. For other facilities,
for other
when it's open,
it's really dependent upon the facility and what the needs are. There are prime times for some facilities that people want to come in and do things at a specific time, but not
uh-huh.
necessarily all the time. So
okay.
it's really dependent on the director and the manager of that facility to determine what makes the most sense for the facility.
Okay. I'm just hoping that we're open to any time beats no time, getting somebody in there, in my opinion, rather than having places to sit vacant. So that was the other one I had for staff. Last thing I had was this picture behind us, the last 2 days with my family. If you have not done it, I recommend it.
Yeah.
I have gone out to the glacier cave. And if you don't know how to get there, park at the parking lot and follow the trails. Sunday, I estimated 1,000 people on the lake. So I equated it to leafcutter ants going back and forth out there. Bikes, skis, walking, running, sleds. People are all over that lake. And if you want to know, it's right behind Mary's head. It's where you need to get to. It's not as close as it is in this picture, but it's that direction. And it has just been marvelous out there. Take some sunglasses and enjoy this weather that we've got right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nan Kerbers.
Don't wear your sunglasses inside the cave. That was my problem.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Just a couple of things. As you know, several of us participated in a fire training event on February 1st, and KTUU had a reporter there that was mic'd and had a camera. Finally, at 10 o'clock last night, I actually saw the three-minute video. And it's now up on their website.
Were you in it, Mr. Jones?
I was. But the city manager was looking especially not as dirty as I felt facial, but, you know, she did a great interview, although I don't think they ever identified her as the city manager. But she was prominent in the 3 minutes. She got at least a minute of time, was very good. So I suggest you go out and look at it because it was actually pretty interesting. And then one thing I was just going to mention when Mr. Keel was talking about the food service, I've had, the privilege the last few Fridays of February and again this Friday. I didn't realize, but there's a group of volunteers, and one particular person I've been helping cooked breakfast for the Yukus students every Friday. And she's been doing it for the last year or so, and she does it every Friday, and other times during the week there are volunteers there. And the person who usually helps her out was taking a month off, and so I volunteered, and I've just really enjoyed it. We feed about 35, 40 kids every Friday morning, and she brings the food in. She brings in the utensils, and, you know, we cook it up in the kitchen, and as soon as we get it all done and, you know, 10 minutes or so before school gone, most of the food's gone, and we're out of there. And lots of kudos from the kids, and they're very polite and thankful, and I've just thoroughly enjoyed it. And so I understand that, you know, food service and stuff during the day, but it is interesting that there is a group of volunteers that not every day is covered, but on this particular time, she does every Friday, and she cooks breakfast at Yukus. So it's been a really interesting last couple of Fridays, and I look forward to my last time on the 28th, and may try to volunteer a little bit more because it's really, really kind of fun. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. Just one comment from back down at this end. You all have a turquoise packet in front of you. That's for our special meeting. We need to stop doing these special meetings. Yeah. I'm getting tired of them, too. We have a special meeting on Wednesday, February 26th, starting at 6 p.m., and we have on the schedule the joint meeting with the Board of Education and also a meeting with the Juneau International Airport Board, and then a short session on finances. An executive session about finances of the city for budget direction. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize for speaking a second time. I forgot one particularly important item to me, and that is that on Friday, as I imagine you're all aware, the governor named his appointment to fill out the Juneau legislative delegation, and assuming confirmation early this week, as I do, I hope that you'll all join me in welcoming Sam Keto III to representing Juneau in the state legislature. We don't have a big delegation, but they pull together, and that means a lot. So I hope you all look forward to working with him as much as I do.
Thank you, Mr. Keel, and thank you for your application into that realm, and it'll be interesting to see you later on in that realm. Thank you very much. Any other comments, questions? Presiding officer, continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to talk to us about a non-agenda item? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We have no executive session tonight.
None, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And anything else? Does anybody else want to say anything? We are adjourned. Thank you.
You're tuned to KTOO News, the K2 broadcast of the City and Borough of Juneau has concluded. The time is 8:43. The weather for tonight is clear, lows 13 to 21. Tomorrow, sunny, highs around 34. Wednesday, partly cloudy, highs around 39. Thursday, sunny, highs around 37. Friday night and Saturday, mostly clear, lows 19 to 25, highs around 35. And we will, at the top of the hour, we will be joining K2's regularly scheduled automated programming, which is at 9 o'clock Democracy Now!, 10 o'clock As It Happens, 11 o'clock BBC World Service. And I have an announcement here. Friends of Admiralty Island annual meeting is Saturday, March 1st, celebrating wilderness and the human spirit. Juneau Yacht Club, all welcome. 2 to 3 will be their business meeting. 4 to 5, Hank Letfer, award-winning author, A Voice for Wilderness. And from 6 to 7, a potluck, Bring a Dish to Share,
terrific food and conversation. 7 o'clock, a just-released beautiful film on Tungus Wilderness Areas, presented by Adam Andis, Sitka Conservation Society, The Meaning of Wild. A fundraising silent auction of rare art and other items will be held. For more information on that, call 586-6738. My name is Martha Moore, your KTOO host for this evening. Thank you for joining us, and have a good evening.